remain standing this morning for the reading of the Word of God. If you don't mind, remain standing, please, while we read our text together. You can be turning in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter number 51. Psalms in chapter 121. Psalms 121 in the Word of God for this morning. I want to read the entire chapter, just 8 little verses, and bring the thought God's laid on my heart. I'm kind of amazed, really, at some of the thoughts Brother Steve used this morning, how they kind of coincide with some of the things that I may be using this morning, depending on how the Lord leads. Because, you know, I'm a big fan of going to the Lord for help. And that's what that nobleman did that Brother Steve taught on this morning. He knew where help was at. He knew how to get it, and he got it. And I'm just a big fan on that. That's my hobby horse, if I have one, is finding help in the Lord and finding help in the right places, knowing where to get what you need. And it's there if we really want it. Psalm 121, the psalmist writes in verse number 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by night, by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. The Lord shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning for the time we've had in the Lord's house, the Sunday school hour, the singing, special music. Thank you, Lord, for thy word that is before us today. I pray you'll bless it to our hearts, that you'll save sinners, get glory to yourself. Help those that are listening by the way of radio, how we need revival. I pray you'd revive us again, Lord, that we might rejoice in thee. I pray you'd help those that have special needs, those that are brokenhearted, those that are sick, those that are afflicted, and other needs in their life today. Give them grace and help that they need, Lord, and we'll thank you and praise you for what's done. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake we pray, amen and amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. All right. Well, again, I want to say how good it is to be here this morning in the Lord's house. I'm going to take my proper seat again this morning, amen, and do my best to give you what God has, come on now here, laid upon my heart. I keep forgetting I don't really have to get up on that microphone. I keep wanting to get up on it. You know, we get visiting preachers here, and I don't understand why, but it seems like they always got to go. Now, and it don't do no good because it jumps right back. And if they realize they were playing with about a $350, $400 piece of equipment there, they may be a little more easy with our equipment. But nonetheless, they try to get it out of their way, and it's not. It's going to spring right back up in their face. It's designed to do that, okay? But I want to preach for a little while out of these verses on the thought this morning on finding help in the hills. The Bible said there, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Then in the very next verse, the psalmist made the statement, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And how true that is. Now, you know by the title, if you've got those titles written in your Bible, that the title is a song of degrees. That is to say that it is a song of ascent. It means that it's always going upward. And I think we can take a great thought from that. The psalm should, as we go down through it, it should continually elevate our life in the Lord Jesus. You know, we ought to always be pressing on that toward that higher ground, pressing on the upward way. and new heights I'm gaining every day. And that's simply what this psalm is getting at, is that it was a psalm that should help us to get on that upward way and stay on that upward way in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was probably a psalm that was sung by the people of God or Israel as they traveled to Jerusalem for their various feasts at the house of God. And I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I could be like them? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we could come to the house of God every time the doors were open, and as we made our way, even from the home, all the way to the house of God, if we could come singing and making melody in our heart unto the Lord, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs unto the Lord, preparing our heart for what would await us once we got to the house of God. You know, I'm satisfied that many of us probably fail to really prepare our heart for worship. We fail to prepare our heart for what God wants for us in that particular service. And I said this so many times, we never come together that God does not want to take us a little bit farther in His grace. That God wants us to grow just a little bit more in the grace and knowledge of Him. Hey, and to know Him. Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and so forth. And there's nothing like knowing the Lord in a greater and more wonderful, wonderful way. And so it'd be good if we could do that. Now, singing and making melody in our heart unto the Lord on the way to church. I want you to notice also that they had to lift up their eyes. The Bible said there, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh mine help. So they had to lift up their eyes, possibly I should say, that they had grown weary from the spiritual battle that they were fighting. And if you're a true child of God and a soldier of the cross, there's going to be battles you're going to have to fight. Now, I want to say to you without any fear whatsoever, some of them you're not going to win. And some of them you are going to win. Somebody said, well, why don't we win them all? Well, if you won them all, I don't believe that it would increase your faith in the Lord any at all. But God knows when to give us the victory, and God knows when to withhold that victory. If every battle we fought, we won, we might swell up in pride, a great deal of pride, and lose some of that faith that the Lord wants us to have. So they may have been grown just a little bit weary in the battle that they were fighting, that spiritual battle. Or maybe they were discouraged from the adversities of life. And you know, life does have a lot of adversities. I was out there hunting yesterday with Brother Gray and his family. And you know, it's odd. It was not really odd. I should have expected it. But Miss Jessica and I were walking yesterday evening late back to the truck. And Brother Gray and Joseph was bringing the deer that Joseph had killed. And when we started getting close to that truck, I told Miss Jessica, I said, I don't think I'm going to make it. And she said, what's wrong? And I said, my left leg don't want to go nowhere. I had to literally, now I'm not joking you, I had to literally look at my left leg and say, move, or it wasn't going to move. I had to make it move. Amen. And so there's adversities in life. But I'll tell you what those adversities in life will do. They will make you lift up your eyes unto the hills from which cometh your help. Adversities in life will, if you're a child of God, make you set your heart and your affection upon Him, and you will seek Him in a much greater way than what you would if everything is always a bed of roses. And by the way, everything is not a bed of roses. And I would remind you, even if it was, that every rose has got a thorn. Every rose has a thorn about it. That's exactly right. I know that's right. So it may have been, it may have been discouraged because of the adversities of life. Or they could have been displeased with some event in life that recently occurred. Brother Steve, it's amazing. He mentioned that in Sunday school. That people generally, when they incur a problem in their life, rather than look to the Lord, unless they're if they're saved, they will look to the Lord. But if they're not, they'll look into themselves. And I'm going to tell you something. There is no help in the sepulcher of self. There, you're not going to find any help in yourself. It's not there to be found. Somebody said, well, I can handle things. It's like that old song, I can handle a job all by myself. I'm going to tell you, this is one job you can't handle all by yourself. I'm simply telling you, without Christ, you're going to fail. As a sinner without Christ, you're going to die and go to hell. And as a child of God without Christ, you're going to fail in your Christian life and your experiences with Him. And somebody say, amen or oh me. But regardless of their why their countenance was fallen, they realized that help awaited them in Jerusalem. They were headed toward Jerusalem. And when they saw those hills that surrounded Jerusalem, they knew that help was just around the corner. And that help could be found in the house of God. I want to get back to that in just a moment. But I want to say, hey, Israel found help when fighting the battle when they looked under the hill. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 17, when Moses and the children of Israel went out to fight with Amalek, the Bible said that Moses went up on a hill, and when he held his hands up, Israel prevailed. When they fell down, Israel lost the battle. Ben and Hur was there with him. They would raise his arms, that Israel would prevail. When they let him down, Israel would soon falter. So they placed boulders under his arms to hold him up. And as his arms was up, Israel won the battle. But the point I want to make is that the Bible said there that Moses went up on a hill. Now, I'm telling you, it was on that hill they found their help. Lord, I'm telling you, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm telling you, I'm so excited about it. Literally every time the Bible talks about a hill finding help on a hill, it's talking about the hill of Mount Calvary, ladies and gentlemen. There is help on Calvary. There's help around the cross of the Lord Jesus. Whether if you're lost, there's help to be saved. And if you're a child of God, there is blessings around Calvary. If you'll look to Calvary and realize that Christ dying in your place, as unworthy as you was, it will help you in your Christian life. Somebody say amen. That's right. So Israel found help when they were fighting the battles of the Lord. They found help when they looked under the hill. Israel also found help in the book when they looked under the hills. In Exodus chapter number 24 and in verse, I believe it's verse number 7 of Exodus chapter number 24. In verse 1 it says, and Moses, he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord. Come up, you and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 elders of the Lord. You come up. You come up. And it was there on that hill that God made a covenant with them. And in verse number 7, it said, he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying there's help in the Bible. God help us. I'm afraid that it's just got to be another book for us. And with something we can take and or something that we can leave, and we fail to realize that when we're going through these adverse times in our life, that the help to be found is in this book. I've said it all my Christian life, my preaching life, that for every problem you have in your family, every problem you have in life, whether it's on the job, whether it's in your own personal life, whether it's in your family, wherever, at the church house, wherever it may be, I'm telling you there's help for you and answers for you in the Bible. Can I say this to you this morning? I've never went to the Bible with an open heart and an open mind and asked God to reveal some truth to me that He didn't do it. I could sit here and tell you time and time again. I remember that time I wanted that travel trailer and wanted that old truck van to pull it by. And the Lord said, you can have it. But He said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to send leanness to your soul. I said, I told the fellow, I called the guy, the missionary, I said, keep your trailer and keep your van. I don't want either one of them. He said, why? I said, I'd rather have what I have and not that than to have leanness to my soul. Amen, that's right. I want my soul to be full of the good things of the Lord. And what he was saying is, you can trade the blessings of God for that van and that trailer if you want to, but it's going to be one or the other. You can have one or the other, but you can't have them both. And I'm going to say, when it comes down to me making a decision which one I'm going to take, I want the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. Amen and amen. That's right. That's exactly right. So there's help in that book when we look under the hill. And there's also, Israel found help in the blood when they looked under the hills. In the same chapter, the Bible said there in verse 8, and Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant of which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Now, I understand that the young men had set up altars. They had made the offerings. They had the blood, and it wasn't upon the mountain. But it was on the hill that Moses got the word. That Moses got made the covenant with God, that blood covenant, with those elders, and I'm telling you that there's help in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They call our religion a bloody religion. They say you're bloody Baptist. That's what the Papists called us. Back during the Dark Ages, you're bloody Baptist. Well, let them call me what they want to call me. I still believe in the blood. Now, hey, and you know what they're doing? They're blaspheming the precious blood of the Son of God and trampling under their feet this hallowed blood that is the only way that they have of cleansing their soul and going to heaven, and they're trampling it under their feet. God have mercy. I'm telling you, there's help in the blood this morning. Somebody said, even for a saved person, I believe so. I pleaded the blood a number of times when I'm praying. I plead the blood of the Son of God. That shows His mercy, by the way. If you're going to find mercy, you've got to find it in the blood. It was mercy, the mercy of God that brought that blood to you and I. And I've got to hurry, or I ain't going to get done in time. And so Israel found blood help in the blood when they looked under the hill. I want to say it was on a mountain where God provided a ram, a substitute. For Abraham and for Isaac. God provided that ram. It wasn't a Dodge ram either. Say amen right there. It was a ram. And God provided that ram. He went up and said, you go to the mountain, I'll show you. And it was Mount Moriah. And on top of that mountain, when Abraham... Hey, has it ever occurred to you that Isaac was only moments from death? Just moments from death. The knife had been raised by Abraham when the voice came from heaven. Do the child no harm. Amen. Moments from death. And God stopped him. And he turned and saw the ram in the thicket caught by its own power. And he substituted the ram, and Isaac went free. I want you to hear, I could just about kick this stool out from under me and run a lap and a half, whether I can or not. But I'm telling you, hey, every one of us in this building this morning, believe it or not, we're just moments from death and just seconds from hell, ladies and gentlemen, when our substitute appeared, the Lord Jesus, say amen right there, when our substitute appeared and died on Calvary to redeem our souls from a devil's hell. Moments from death, Isaac was, when his substitute came along on a hill. Our substitute, the Lord Jesus, died on a hill, and we were all just moments from death. In fact, David said, there's just one step between me and death. Now, I'm going to tell you, a step doesn't take long to take a step unless you're like me. Then you don't take a step, you just kind of shuffle along. Say amen right there. That's right. Brother Doug got to call me Shuffling Truman. That's my daddy's name. Daddy Shuffled, had that T-Berry Shuffle type thing, you know what I'm saying? And Brother Doug got to call me Shuffling Truman because my feet are shuffling along. That's probably what I was doing out there yesterday. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if I've told Sister Hall or not, but I stumbled once and fell. I fell on that rifle, fell with me, and that .308 hit me right upside the head, and I said, Lord, thank you it didn't go off. God have mercy, I'm telling you. I'd at least been minus an eyeball. Amen. I'd look better. That's you something, boy. Amen. It'd have been rough. But, you know, I'm the type of a guy, I can't just sit down and quit going. I can't sit down and quit. I mean that. I've got to do something. I'm just not that type. I'm not a quitter. Amen. I'm not a quitter. Brother Gray told me last night, I said, won't you let me take you over on the four-wheeler? I said, I'll walk. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That's right. And I walked. I'm just not a quitter. I'm just not a quitter. And it was also on a hill outside Jerusalem. I've already mentioned that, where our Lord helped. Now, where did they find help? Where did they find help in the hills when they came to Jerusalem? When they came into Jerusalem and saw Jerusalem and all those hills. May I say, first of all, they found help in the song that they were singing. I'm amazed at Baptists today. How we can listen to somebody sing like these ladies were singing, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Thank you for putting food on my table. Thank you, Lord, for putting shoes on my feet. Thank you, Lord, for a fine family that you've given me. And we just sit there and look at them. As if to say, well, ain't that something? Well, it is something. It is something, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm telling you, that song, this song they were singing in Psalm 121, when they began to sing, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. As they sang that, they knew that help awaited them in Jerusalem. And the song they were singing gave them help along the way. Now, I'm telling you that a song in your heart will give you help along the way as you serve God. And if we had ever learned that, and some of you never will learn it, that's a song in your heart, a melody in your soul, will help you along the way. Learn them old hymns of Zion. Hum them every now and then. Whistle them occasionally. When you're out there in that tree stand, sing one of them in your mind a little bit. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. When you're on the job, when you guys are driving down the road in these 18-wheelers, if you don't have one to listen to, sing one. Amen. Sing it out loud. There ain't nobody going to hear. So I said, well, I don't sing too well. Hey, the Lord ain't interested in how you're singing anyway. He's interested in what's coming out of your heart. Amen. That's right. Well, just keep that song in your heart. Then I want to say, secondly, that they knew they would find help in the sanctuary. As they looked to those hills, they knew that the temple was there. And brother, they looked under those hills and whence cometh their help? And they said, hey, the sanctuary is just a short ways on down the road. And that here's one thing they knew that we don't. There's help in church. Whether you believe that or not, there's help. Somebody says, I ain't never got a lot of help. He didn't say it'd be an atomic bomb. Amen. Help doesn't have to. Help like dynamite. Sometimes it can come in small packages. Amen. And some of you is looking for the big bang theory when you ought to be just looking for the little inch firecracker. Amen. You know what I'm saying? It ain't always in the big things. Brother Gray made the mention last week to me. He just sat there after Sunday night service. Just sat there. And I walked back and sat down in front of him. I said, what are you just sitting here for? And he said, I'm just sitting here thinking. He said, preacher, he said, you said one thing, just one little statement, made my day. One statement. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you get it right, one statement out of this book that I've got laying on this desk this morning, One statement out of this book can do more for you. That, hey, it'll fill you up for the week, ladies and gentlemen. What about them old timers that went to church once a month? You know why? You know why they could go once a month? Praise God, they got enough in them on that one Sunday morning to last them for a month. They didn't have to be spoon fed 3 or 4 times a week. They come expecting something in the sanctuary, and they found what they come looking for. Amen. We can do the same thing we want to. Then I want to say thirdly, he said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Notice this, my help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now they knew the song, and they knew the sanctuary, But I want to say the main thought this morning, they found help in the Savior. Amen. Brother, I'm glad they's helping Jesus today. Amen. That Bible said he's the present help in trouble. Do you believe that?
Yes,
you get a hold of that. It doesn't say that he's a present help in time of trouble. He is a present help in trouble. I mean, if you're in trouble, right then he's a help.
Amen.
Not down the road sometime. And tomorrow he's your help. And tomorrow he's your help. He's a present help in trouble. He provides, he provides that as help of the Savior, he provides our salvation for us. He provides our salvation for us. I want you to notice something. The hill itself, listen to me carefully, the hill itself provides nothing by way of help. Now you say, preacher, you just said they did. No, I didn't. If you were listening, I did not say the hills at all had anything to provide. They said, I will lift up mine eyes under the hills from whence cometh my help. In other words, the help come out of the hills. The help wasn't in the hills, but the help come from what was there in the hills. Listen to what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 3:23. He said, truly in vain, he said, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. I mean, thank God for Calvary. Thank God for the place called the skull. Thank God for Golgotha. But I'm telling you, it would only be a hill without reputation had not there been a man by the name of Jesus that died on that hill 2,000 years ago. It's not the hill, but it's what occurred on that hill. And what occurred on that hill was that Christ died to pay our sin debt. Yes, sir. Thank God on him on that hill, he paid the sin debt for you and I, shed his blood for you and I, was separated between the Father for 3 hours of darkness between him and the Father, and he hanged there between heaven and earth and absorbed every sin of every man into his soul, went to a grave and came out of the grave, leaving that sin behind, and came out of the grave, ladies and gentlemen, with healing under his wings. Whoop! Hallelujah to God. I'm glad of that. Thank God. Y'all catch a hold of that after a while. I'm glad there's healing beneath the wings of Almighty God. You'll catch that thought after a while. So he provides salvation. That salvation, by the way, is by grace. These next three thoughts are so simple. Salvation is by grace. The Bible says, by the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Don't you believe that?
Amen.
I believe, for by grace are you saved.
Yes,
through grace. Amen. It's grace all the way. I'm not a bit ashamed of it.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, if you add works to grace, you don't have grace.
Right.
Grace is God doing for you what you cannot do. Can you get a hold of that? Does everybody get a hold of that this morning? That no man can pull himself up by his own bootstraps. You can't save yourself. And if you can't save yourself, you cannot help yourself after you're saved. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Well, I do. You might read your Bible. You might come to church every Sunday. You might sing in the choir. You might play musical instruments. You might even preach. But I'm going to tell you, somewhere along the line, you're going to have to find out that all of that is absolutely vanity without the help of the Lord. That's exactly right. Thank God. I'm glad. Grace. God loving the unlovely. You know, God didn't even have to let you be here this morning.
That's right.
I guarantee you there's people all across our country that intended to go to church this morning, but I don't mean to be ugly, but instead of being in church, they're in a morgue. Or they're in a hospital. And some of them are in hell. God didn't have to let you get saved, and God didn't have to let you be here this morning. But it's God loving you in an unlovely way that allowed you to be in the house of God today.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. That is exactly right. It's by His grace. Salvation is also by His goodness. Romans 2:4 said, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Except you all repent, you shall all likewise perish. You can't repent without turning to God. You listen to what I'm saying? Repentance is necessary. Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody says, well, I can get saved and live any way I want to. No, you can make a profession of faith and live any way you want to. You can get baptized and live any way you want to. But if you ever get saved, I'll assure you of this, you can't live any way you want to. You know why? God will see to it. He won't let you. He'll either correct you or He'll take you to glory. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Then read your Bible, friend. The Bible's clear in the book of Hebrews when it talks about some men obeying their fathers. He said, how much more shall we not obey the Father of spirits and live? Father of spirits and live? I'm telling you, you just better believe that's right. That's right. And I don't intend to go back and try to add. I don't even remember what Brother Gray said about it. But I'm going to say this just in case some of y'all didn't get it. I'm going to repeat it in John chapter number 15 when he said there in verse number 2, every branch get these words in me that beareth fruit, beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that keep beareth fruit, he purges it that it bring forth more fruit. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. If you're an unfruitful Christian, you're going to glory early. You might as well set that down in your mind, friend. Every branch in him is either going to bear fruit or go to glory. One of the two. Thank you and amen. That's right. Now, it also, that salvation is by grace and by the goodness of God and repentance. But it's also by His gift. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Amen. Boy, don't we champion gifts?
Amen.
You know we do. Some little old boy walks up to some little old girl, falls down on his knees and says, opens up a little old box. He's got a ring in there and he says, will you marry me? And she says, it's so pretty. Yes, I will. And he takes that ring out and puts that. It's coming your way, Brother Steve. You might as well look up. And he slips that ring on that little girl's finger. That's a gift. That's a gift. Listen, that's a gift that that young lady will treasure and cherish all of her life. And when they exchange rings on this platform, they get another gift, a wedding ring. That is a gift they'll cherish all of their life. I'm just so much like my daddy. I don't care what it was you give my daddy. I don't care. He kept it. I remember when he died, I walked back there in his bedroom where he used to sleep, and there was a little old lantern that us boys had bought him years and years ago. Just a little old red. It was just something about a railroad lantern. He always wanted one. And we found it. He wouldn't have took $1 million for that little old lantern. You know why? It was a gift. And I'm going to say, there's just something about a gift. One thing that don't cost you a dime. It comes out of the pocket of somebody else.
Amen.
And our gift of life that we have, it didn't cost you and I a dime. It came by with the expense of the Son of God that loved us and gave Himself for us. Now I'm telling you, hey, we ought to chase that gift. It's a gift of God that we're saved this morning. Can we get a hold of that? Can I tell you this? I'm going to tell you this, whether you want me to or not. Years ago, they probably won't even remember it. But Lisa and Doug gave me a little coffee cup for Christmas and had a little white and black necktie striped. Folded up in that coffee cup. And I took that little tie. Coffee cup probably out in the cabinet. And I took that little tie. I folded it up and I put it in one of the drawers back in my bedroom. A few days ago, I was looking through that drawer for some things and there I laid that little tie. And I took that little tie out of that box and carried it into the box under my bed where when I fill it up, it goes upstairs in the big box. And I laid that little necktie in that box, put the lid back on it, and slid it under the bed. Why? It was a gift. A gift that I cherished. And I wouldn't take nothing for it. Now I'm going to tell you, a man would be a fool to say he'd sell his salvation. And if you're here today lost, what you're doing literally is like Judas. You're selling it! For 30 pieces of stinking silver, you're selling it. Like Esau for a pot of soda, for a little pot of stew, you're selling it. Take my word for it, it's not worth it. Life is far better than death. Heaven is far better than hell. Jesus is better than the devil. Blessings are better than fate. That's right. Thank God. Amen now. I'm going to say secondly, He provides stability. Look at verse 3 and 4. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And I think a few of these verses are prophetic of the Lord Jesus, but I'm going to tell you they're applicable to you and I today. That's why I'm using them. He will provide stability. He says so. Behold, he said, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. That's stability. I'm going to tell you, a lot of folks today wobbling on the axle.
Right.
Remember Brother Brown used to say, a whole lot of Baptists are wobbling on the axle. There's no stability. What he's saying is, they're up one day and down one day. There's one fellow said in Arizona, they're popcorn, hot dog and popcorn Christians. They're pop, like popcorn. They pop up and then they fall down. That's right, they're popcorn, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. That's where a lot of Baptists are. They're on cloud nine today and walking through the valley tomorrow.
Right.
And even when we're in the valley, the lily is there.
Yes.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen. Listen to what Peter said in 1 Peter 3:10. He said, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto Him, unto His eternal glory, by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. And I'm here to tell you, after you've suffered a while in your Christian life, God will put such a desire and such faith in you. He's going to strengthen you and establish you and settle you and make you a mature child of God, that your foot's not going to be moved. In other words, you're not going to give one inch to the devil.
Amen.
You're not going to be pushed around by that egg sucker. Oh, pardon me. That's what he is, and he's worse than an egg sucker. Worse than an egg sucker.
Amen.
Now, 1 Corinthians 15:58 said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hey, we're not moved because of the ultimate victory. If you'll read the verses before that, verses 54 through 57, he talks about the sting of death and how the corruptible is going to be made incorruptible. And who, hey, thanks be unto God who always gives us the victory. Well, hey, the ultimate victory. You know what the ultimate victory is? Corruptible being made incorruptible. That's the end of it. The ultimate. I've read in newspaper and they talk about the ultimate warrior. Ultimate warrior, my foot. You wouldn't know what the ultimate warrior is. The end of it. The ultimate. The ultimate. Victory is someday that this body of clay is going to be transformed into something, ladies and gentlemen, that is beyond the recognition of mortal man. That something cannot be explained by mortal man. Something that cannot even be realized by mortal man today. Somebody said, I realize it. Now, don't hand me that lie. You can't imagine a body that will never perish because we live in a perishable world. You can't imagine a body that will never grow old because everybody we see is growing old. You can't imagine a body that will never grow sick because everybody we see is getting sick. But that's the ultimate victory. It's ours. It's ours. This mortal, this corruptible is going to become incorruptible and immortal. Amen. And then shall be brought to pass the saying that death is swallowed up in victory. That's right. Amen. Now, Listen very carefully. Because of the unbelievable reward, there's going to be rewards. There's going to be rewards in the Lord. I'll move on. He provides us with shade. Look at verse 5 and 6. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my shade upon thy right hand. Upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. And, that may be prophetic of the Lord, but he says that about us in the book of Revelation. He certainly does. And so that, to get a hold of what he means, that shade is our refuge. Isaiah 25:4 says, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. When the bleak of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, that shade of the Lord is like a refuge to us. Amen. When the storms of life are blowing, He'll stand by me.
Amen.
When I'm growing old, He'll stand by me. When I'm weak and feeble and frail, He'll stand by me.
Amen.
When trouble invades your family, He'll stand by you.
Amen.
When your loved ones are passing away and growing old and passing away, He'll stand by you.
Amen.
When your children grow up and leave home, He'll stand by you. When your bone body begins to wither away and grow sick and feeble, it's kind of like Brother Herford over here talks about, talk about today, but you know what I'm saying? But I'm telling you that He'll still stand by you. In times of trouble, He'll stand by you. Amen. When your children leave you after you've given them your life and taught them and tried to help them and be a blessing to them and they depart from the faith, He'll still stand by you.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. He'll stand by you. When your children and grandchildren break your heart, He'll stand by you.
Amen.
You better believe that's right. Thank God, doesn't I? Amen. He's a refuge. Now, that shade is also our rest. He said in Song of Solomon 2:3, as an apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He did what? He sat down. He sat down under his shadow with great delight. There's rest. Thank God. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. He said, and I will give you rest. By the way, I believe that apple tree is symbolic of the cross. Now I'm telling you, you can find rest at Calvary. Oh, for a weary life. I said a while ago that my whole life was miserable. I lived a miserable life till I met Christ. Everything about it was miserable. And it was. But one day I met Jesus. And it wasn't by magic that the misery departed. It was by grace, love, and mercy that the misery departed. Oh yes. And joy flooded my soul. Heaven came down. And glory filled my soul. That's what happened when we get saved. Do you believe that today? I'm not ready to kick your stupid chair over and wake some of y'all up. Y'all really believe that heaven come down and glory filled your soul?
Amen.
That's right. Them two little old deer jumped out in front of Brother Gray and I down there last week. Them black powder guns. And he said, 1, 2, 3. And we said, boom. And I said, what happened? There's so much smoke in that tent. I can't see nothing. And I thought about, praise God, this must be how it was when the smoke filled the temple. It's so thick the priest had to get out. I said, let's get out of this place, son. Choking me to death. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. The glory of God came down and filled my soul when I got saved that day. Oh, what glory. Oh, and we sang that song, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. But I'm saying that same old man that wrote that song wrote, oh, what glory. And it is glorious, ladies and gentlemen. It was miserable, but thank God heaven came down. And glory fills my soul. And I'm on the Glory Land Road. Hallelujah. On my way to heaven by the grace of God. I don't care who knows. And I'm proud to be a child of Almighty God. Save me. Thank God for grace, love, and mercy. Hallelujah. Sorry about that stool. But you got in my way and I'm busy right now. When you get busy about the master's work, you don't worry about stool.
Amen.
That's right. I'm glad I found rest when I sat down under that apple tree. That shade is our rejoicing. Said I sat down under his shadow with great delight.
Amen.
In other words, his apples were pretty sweet. She ate a couple of them. She said, fill me with apples or something. Stay me with flagons. Fill me with apples. In other words, she got so weak she couldn't stand up. The glory was so strong that her legs, the bride's legs, got weak at that apple tree. And she wanted more. She said, stay me with flagons. I want more of your love. I'm going to tell you, if we'd ever get that way, I want y'all to forgive me for this, but there used to be an old song out that said, give me more and more and more of your kisses. Give me more and more of your love. I know that's carnal. But I'm here to tell you, the Lord, hey, that ought to be the heart's desire of every child of God in here, is give me more of your love, Lord. Give me more of your love, Lord. Kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. And that's not being ugly. That's what the Bible said in the book. I said, a song of Solomon, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. Spiritually speaking. Spiritually speaking.
Amen.
Brother, I'll say it ought to be our heart's desire. To be loved more by the Lord. Amen. That shade was her rejoicing. We ought to rejoice in that delight.
Amen.
Praise God, we're sitting around like a Missouri mule sucking on and chewing on saw briars. Like we've been licking a lemon and sucking on an alum bag.
Amen.
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 I'm going to say provide security, verses 7 and 8. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forever. He provides security. Hey, notice in those two verses that the word preserve is used three times. Three times. By the way, we're preserved in Jesus Christ and called.
Amen.
Now, I don't care what the Armenians say.
That's right. Amen.
I don't care what the heathen have got to say.
Amen.
I am preserved.
Amen.
I'm not preserved that I might sin like the devil.
Amen.
I'm preserved that I might rejoice.
Amen.
And I'm preserved that I might delight myself in the Lord and in the beauty of His holiness.
Amen.
That I might delight myself in the fact that someday, when I see Him, I'm going to be just like Him.
Amen.
I'm going to see Him as He is. That's
right.
It says, "In He preserves our soul," in verse number 7. The Lord shall preserve. The Lord shall preserve. I think it does. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul.
Amen.
The Bible said the soul that sinneth shall die. But I'm going to tell you something. Those of us are saved, the Lord will preserve our soul.
Amen.
Let me ask you something, Lord. Do you fear hell? Do you fear death? Let me ask you again. Do you fear death? Are you afraid to die? Are you afraid if you die, you'll go to hell? If you are, you probably need to get on this altar and get saved.
Amen.
Nobody really looking to die. But as a child of God, we don't fear it either.
Amen.
We may not delight in it, but we don't fear it.
Right.
Because to be absent from the body is to be present
Amen.
With the Lord. And we've got the promise He will preserve our soul. The soul that sinned is going to die. And that's not talking about a physical death. That's talking about a second death.
That's right.
Because when the body dies, the soul doesn't.
Amen.
But in a lake of fire, it'll find what's called the second death. If you're afraid to die, you may have a real spiritual problem. I'm not going out here and jump out in front of a bus or a train in order to get there any quicker. I want to go when He wants me to go. But I don't fear death. And I certainly don't fear hell. Because I've been to Calvary. He preserves us from Satan. Look at verse 7. He shall preserve thee from all evil.
Amen.
You realize that Satan didn't have a chance with Job when he started.
Right.
Even with the hedge down, he didn't stand a chance.
Right.
Because Job was preserved.
Amen.
In Christ. All the hedge was down. All that did was protect him and what he had, physically speaking. But God also preserves the soul.
Right.
Amen.
We're not really guaranteed riches in this life.
That's right.
Somebody said, "Well, Brother Hall, why not?" Well, ask Lazarus.
That's right.
When you get to heaven, then you'll find out why. And I'll tell you what, we all are promised. Soul preservation. And then He preserves us our service. Verse number 8. He said, "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth even forever." That's talking about service. And then I said, "What do you mean service, preacher?" I'm talking about our labors.
Amen.
Our rewards.
Amen.
Do you think the Lord, hey, when the Lord made the statement, that if you give one drop of water in a disciple's name, if y'all could come up here and see that, little, just a little drop, that's not much. But He said there's a reward if you'll give that in the name of a disciple. And that little drop of water to that disciple is preserved forever. Forever. He'll preserve what you do for Him. You don't have to worry about that. He'll have His rewards with Him when He comes. What we need to do today is just lift up our eyes and look under the hills from which cometh our help. Our help is from the Lord. Let's stand together.